This is Family Twist, a podcast about astonishing adoption stories and finding family via DNA magic. I'm Kendall.
And I'm Corey, and we've been inseparable partners in life since 03, 04, 05, also known as March 4th, 2005.
In January 2018, our found family journey took us 3,000 miles from the San Francisco Bay Area to New England, where we now live near my biological father, two half-siblings, and their families. We love being near them all, and the adventure continues. Welcome back to Family Twist. Today, we're excited to have a trio of guests from Hireth Hope and Healing. They are Annie Persico, Aaron Cosentino, and Cindy McQuay. Welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah. Sure. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. So who wants to be the ringleader? Sort of just give us a little bit of background about Hireth.
That'd be Aaron. Yeah.
That's usually me. We actually were all members of a very large Facebook group that, their main focus is on DNA discoveries, these adult DNA discoveries. But at the time, they did have some members who were always known lifelong adoptees. And so that's how Cindy, Annie, and I first met. They were hosting a meetup in Philadelphia, which is actually direct center of where Cindy and I both live. And we had gotten to know each other through the world of Facebook. And so we said, let's just do this, let's go to this meetup and we'll get together and hang out. And it was nice. It was a couple hours long. And then we went out to dinner afterwards. Annie was not at that initial meeting. And almost immediately after we got back to the hotel, I looked at Cindy and I was like, that was really cool. But like, it just wasn't long enough. What do you think about having a retreat? And so that's exactly how Hireth Hope and Healing was born. We went to a couple hour meetup and it developed into a retreat, and we've continually gotten greedy. Day and a half wasn't enough. So then it was 2 days, and then it was 3 days, and then it was 4 days, and it's what it exists as now.
And when was their first meeting?
That was in March of 2019.
The Facebook group, did it have a specific focus? Was it about connecting people, or was it about, healing? Like, tell us a little bit about the Facebook group and why that sort of informed the retreats.
Yeah, that was one of the original Facebook groups for DNA discoveries.
What was the focus of that initial meeting? Was it just to discuss each other's stories, or kind of, help each other heal? What was it all about?
It was publicity for the creator of that Facebook group, which, we no longer have contact with, with that Facebook group, because for us specifically, it's about healing. It's not about seeking out, publicity. You emailed us,
right.
We didn't say, hey, invite us on your podcast so we can talk about the amazing things that we're doing.
Right.
We love to talk about the amazing things that we're doing. But privacy is also vitally important to us, because so many, not so much the adoptee side of things that we do, but so many NPEs are really still hiding. They're carrying the shame and stigma associated with their conception. Perhaps their mom had an affair, or was a victim of sexual assault. And so a lot of NPEs are still very, very private and don't discuss their journey publicly.
Now, I can also add, the very first retreat that we did hold was October of 2019. And it was not called Hireth Hope and Healing then. We had, Aaron, you can clarify more exactly what Susie did. We only had one facilitator at that. And at that, I think the concept then was formed for us to have, more facilitators. So the healing, the name and the concept sort of developed after that first initial retreat. Mm-hmm. What was it called? Like Jersey Shore
Roundtable
Retreat. Yeah.
Like, it was basically just, we have a little private chat group of the original people. We call it just bunch of friends who rented a house.
Yep.
So
the OGs.
The OGs, yeah.
Well, but there's something really nice about that sort of organic feel and start, you know, to a group, I think.
Yeah. And that's also something that, that holds true and carries through to each retreat that we've had subsequent to that first one, is that, you know, we do now provide five, six healing sessions while we're in retreat, but we also talk about how we heal in the mundane, you know, so we heal over waking up in the morning and having coffee with folks just like us. We heal by playing Cards Against Humanity that Annie forced us to play at the first retreat, and now we have to do it at every one.
Good for
you,
Annie.
Know, cooking, preparing meals. Yeah, yeah, for sure. So it's just a weekend of community and togetherness. We say togetherness heals, and it does.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, camaraderie, I think, is definitely just, you know, bringing folks together of, you know, similar stories or similar backgrounds. And yeah, I think there's just opportunities for spending time together for healing. How open are the three of you about your own journeys? Can you talk a little bit about where you are?
I'm the adoptee among us, so I'll let the NPEs, because I'm an open book all over the place, so I can let the NPEs speak first.
Well, I'm pretty open. I think I have a little bit of uniqueness about my own ability to be open, because I'm not really connected at all with family, my original family. But I will literally tell my story to anybody who will listen. You know, we joke about telling people, like strangers at the grocery store, you know, and it just kind of comes out, you know, but I make no secret. Like if I do put something on Facebook, I'll make it global so that anyone can see it. I'm not connected with my new siblings, but I don't hide from them. And I do have a connection with some cousins. So I kind of get a little petty in that way. When they post something, I'll say, "Hey, cuz," or, you know, things like that on their photos. So I kind of make it where I am as open as I can be with whomever asks. I don't hide anything, you know, and that's evolved over time. Obviously, I originally took my test in 2012. So I've had this knowledge for quite a long time. So I'm pretty open about it.
Yeah, we call Annie the grandma of the NPE, lovingly, of course. It took me a couple of years into the journey before I would even share the work that we're doing on Facebook. I knew my biological father as a child. He disappeared from my life when I was around 8 years old. I didn't know at the time he was my dad. But I did know him, and he was in my life. And when I made my discovery, I had just lost my dad 8 months prior.
Wow.
And he was at my dad's funeral. So when I reached out to him, you know, I said, we didn't know this information, you know, when I saw you back in February, but we have this information now, and let's see what happens. You know, I would love to reconnect with you and get to know your other children. And we chatted for a few months, and it was a lot of small talk on his end. Maybe when the weather gets nicer, we'll get together. Maybe when this happens, we'll get together. And when it was about 4 months, and I said, you know what, like, I'm a grown adult, and I don't need your permission to do anything. And so I emailed my siblings without asking permission. And that didn't really sit well with him. And at that point, he told me that I was selfish and self-centered, and that my behavior crossed a line with him. And he had no use for me, and he probably never would.
Mm-hmm.
So that really was the end of any communication with my biological father. I was able to meet his two children that came after me. I have a brother and a sister, half siblings, of course. I'm the only child of my mother and my biological father, so I have all half siblings now. They're super nice people, but we're at completely different points in our lives. I'm the oldest of that set. My children are grown-ish. They have young children, and they're super nice when I reach out and check in, but there's not a lot of, hey, let's get together, you know, let's hang out, let's do this. I mean, I wouldn't change it, but we don't hang out often.
Yeah. And did you, well, it's a selfish question for me to ask just because I'm curious, but was that surprising to you, or that would be the way that it ended up?
Was it surprising to me that we're not in, quote, reunion?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I had a very romanticized view of what was going to happen. I was going to have this amazing relationship with my biological father, and I was going to have an amazing relationship with my new siblings, and everything was going to be beautiful and perfect, and we were going to ride off into the sunset and live happily ever after.
I am completely with you, and I have romanticized thoughts about everything in life, so this to me was the absolute extreme. The way that it's turned out for me is probably, you know, not a 180 from what I expected, but it's not at all what I expected. You know, I have great relationships with, I would say, 3 of my 6 half siblings, and the other 3 don't seem to care that I'm around. And that's just shocking to me because that's just not the way I'm wired. So it's bizarre to me that you wouldn't want to get to know, you know, somebody that you missed, you know, most of your life from. But anyway, that was just an aside. That's because I'm, like Cindy said, I'm kind of an open book and probably can't shut up even when I should. But all right.
So I'll turn it over to Cindy now.
That blows my mind, though. Like you said, Kendall, you know, that these family members don't want to get to even kind of know you.
Right.
You know what I mean? Just even kind of. So my story's boring, as I always tell everybody. I'm an always known adoptee. Older brother was also adopted. Then parents had 2 bio kids. We're all very close. I have cousins that were adopted, neighbors that were adopted. So I grew up around tons of adoptees. Had my records opened when I was 18. Connected via DNA, I want to say 7 years ago. And have only been, am in reunion only with a few cousins, aunts and uncles. Bio parents and siblings want nothing to do with me. And hey, I'm okay with that. That's their loss. Mm-hmm. In fact, I recently, 2 weeks ago, was in Florida and met up with a first cousin once removed,
oh, wow,
meaning we share the same grandmother. And the first thing she said to me was, oh my God, you look just like my mother. You know, so, and she and her husband kept sitting there going, yeah, and she looks like your cousin. So those kind of things are pretty cool, you know, to hear. You know, as an adoptee, you know, we grow up with no genetic mirroring. So to see or hear somebody say you look like somebody is fascinating. I'm going to get back to the retreats for a sec here. The original meetup that Aaron and I met, I was the only adoptee in attendance. And Aaron, this may jog your memory. Aaron felt so bad about that. Like I was pointing things out that they were doing that I actually was unable to participate. You know, so it was kind of like that, that school assignment. Do your family tree. Adopted, can't do it. So Aaron and I were like, well, we've got to make sure that at our retreats, that all the communities, you know, the trio that we are a makeup of, you know, the adoptees, the donor-conceived folks, and the NPEs and the late discovery adoptees. So we are extremely conscious of making sure that everyone feels included, you know, and when we interview our facilitators, that's a major component. You know, don't just talk about the adoption trauma. You know, you got to talk about trauma as a whole, because these other folks also experience trauma.
I'm very curious about the evolution of the retreat. So let's go back to that OG retreat. Aside from Cards Against Humanity, what else happened on the Jersey Shore?
We actually didn't play that at the first retreat. That came later.
That was the second. That was the second retreat after we were all comfortable.
Yeah, gotcha.
With each other. So I mean, the first retreat was it was amazing. You know, none of us knew each other with the exception of Cindy and I. And so I know with certainty that there was trepidation for folks that were coming. You know, they were trying this new thing out with us. So Annie actually was, and I love to tell this story. I tell this story all the time. Annie was one of the first people to walk through the door. You might have to put like a warning on this particular podcast, you know, that little E for expletive.
Yeah.
And so Annie walked through the door and I said, do you fucking curse? And she said, yeah, I fucking curse. And I gave her a hug right away. And then Annie, tell him your part of the story about how you felt at home.
If you met me, you might think I was lying, but I'm really not very extroverted. You know, when I'm around new people, I tend to be quiet. I'm not a very good small talker. But I said to Aaron later on, I said, you know, like to everyone that was there, I said, you know, when I walked in, I just felt like I knew these people in my heart. You know, like it was just so inclusive. Like, you know, like you meet someone and you just know you're going to be like their friend, or like you just click. And it was just like, I clicked with everyone like that first few minutes. And I've never felt anything like that, you know, and I never actually said this, but, as the weekend went on, I almost forgot why I was there. And somebody, I think it might have been Heather, one of the attendees, mm-hmm. We were just sitting around the table because we really didn't have much of a structured weekend, right? You know, there were things planned and little groups, and we kind of split off into, mm-hmm. you know, little four or five people groups. But we were sitting at the table, and Heather, one of the attendees, was telling part of her story. And I was sitting there and I'm going, wow, and I said, wait a minute, this is why I'm here. You know, like I almost forgot why I was there. You know, I was just so comfortable with everyone, you know, like you just know, like we just kind of all like meshed like right away. Even a few of the people that don't attend anymore, we still all have a connection with those people as well, with the original group. At that very first retreat.
Yeah, so that very first retreat was let's meet on Friday night. And actually that very first retreat pre-COVID, mm-hmm. you know, everything kind of changed during mm-hmm. COVID too. But so that very first retreat was pre-COVID. And so we met on Friday night, went out to dinner. And then we call it in session. So we were in session all day Saturday from, I don't know, 10 to 2. With a facilitator who, as Cindy had said earlier, is my husband's Aunt Sue, who is, she was a trauma educator. Oh. And so she talked to us about the effects of trauma on the body and how we process trauma and, you know, what happens to us in crisis and the different ways that, that the brain functions in crisis. And after that, we broke up into what we called roundtable groups, where we had somebody asking questions. And then, as Annie said, they were four or five people in each group. It was a small retreat, our first one. And then we had dinner. And then we got up the next morning, we had breakfast, and we left. Mm-hmm. And as I said earlier, too, like, that's where my greediness comes out. I was like, that wasn't enough time. Mm-hmm. So let's get together on Thursday evening, find more facilitators, be in session Friday, be in session Saturday, and then head home on Sunday morning. And I think we did that once. And I said, that still just wasn't it. No, that's not true. We did that twice. And then somebody had said, gosh, I felt so alone when I was at the airport going home. I'm sitting in the airport crying all by myself. And so Cindy and I said, that didn't even occur to us. Like, we need to add a day at the end so that we can decompress in community, because we're in these heavy duty sessions. You know, we are bringing in licensed clinicians. We are bringing in people that have extensive training in holistic recovery options. And so it's a heavy weekend. It really is. We laugh, we cry, and we laugh. But to just be surrounded by people that inherently know your struggle and feel that same struggle for two full days, and then basically just say, okay, bye, right, see you later. It wasn't working. And so we added that last day where Cindy said, let's call it relax, renew, refresh. And so we bring in a massage therapist, we'll bring in a medium, a Reiki practitioner.
And we really just movies. Right. Yeah, we just have it a hang out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
I grew up around adoptees, so I was very familiar with having that camaraderie among my people. I was shocked, just shocked at how many adoptees I have met via, you know, the rise of Facebook groups that have never met in person another adoptee, as would be same with, you know, obviously the NPE group. Like how Annie said, she just felt at home and with her people. And again, I love seeing these new people come to retreats and feel that they can let their hair down and not be judged about crying or saying something. So I get that. And it's so important that people recognize that a Facebook support group, yes, is great and awesome, but there's nothing like in-person friendships and healing and being, you know, together. And how Annie talks about the original gang. We, since 2019, we all talk. We support each other through marriage issues, through children issues. We have a group chat that has been going nonstop 24/7. You know, hey, it's 3 a.m. I can't sleep. We're getting together in a few weeks in New York City. I mean, we have developed not just the original group, but the retreat folks. We have developed these lifelong friendships because of our commonalities, our allies and intersections, you know, I like to call them. It's just been wonderful.
Question about the structure of the retreat. So are there, for instance, with each one, if you know you have people that have never come before, are there things that are really directed toward them? And then for the people who are able to have come several times, you know, is there that sort of programming involved?
I can kind of speak on that. Aaron and I are very deliberate in who we place in what groups. So we don't want the OGs to be in one group and the newbies in one group. And we're even more deliberate in which OG, you know, like personality wise, oh, this one will be good to have paired with this one. None of our retreats are ever the same. So each retreat is entirely different. It may be the same facilitator, but they are going to facilitate on something different. We never want them to be a cookie cutter, you know, McDonald's type of pick your menu.
Right.
Because we want people to, you know, three times a year they're offered. And at any given three times of the year, if a person feels that they need that healing, they know it's going to be a different experience than one they've been to before. Annie's our top attender. she and I think there's three or four others.
I've only missed one so far. And I had complete FOMO about it. I was in a bad mood at home the whole weekend. My wife was like, "What is wrong with you?" And you know, so it was not good for me to miss, honestly.
Yeah.
No.
That speaks volumes though, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I totally felt not being there.
Yeah.
Totally.
Well, and of course, us texting you didn't make it.
No, texting me I think it was Sunday afternoon. I get a FaceTime thing on Facebook and it's like connect. I was like, so I did. And one of the women was like, "Oh, you just have to say this thing and this is what we're doing." I'm like, "I don't want to see this."
Yeah.
This is not helpful.
That's what I'm missing.
Right, what I'm missing.
So as I mentioned, we get together on Thursday evening and we have dinner together and there's an icebreaker. And we hang out that night and then we get up Friday morning. And on Friday, we have what we call our small group sessions. So that's where, as Cindy was speaking about, we break the attendees into three groups. Now's probably a good place to tell you that we max out at 30 attendees. We are not trying to be a humongous retreat. You know, we don't want to be at a hotel and have conference rooms. To us, the size is very important because we want to form those connections. So we have a max of 30 attendees. We break them into three groups. As Cindy said, you know, we'll put OGs and newbies together because the OGs need to act as mentors to folks that are just coming into the community, or maybe, my gosh, found us a month after they made their discovery and really just need that person to walk alongside them. And there are three rotating sessions on Friday. We have a session at 10 a.m., a session at 1, and a session at 3:30. So everybody attends all three sessions just at different times throughout the day. And then we have dinner together and we play a game in the evening. Sunday, we have a final session all together. Excuse me. Saturday is our whole group day. I skipped over a whole day. So we typically have 2 to 3 facilitators on Saturday. Most often it's 1 4-hour session and 1 2-hour session, but we're all together for all of those. And Saturday evening is typically Cards Against Humanity. That's our Cards Against Humanity night. Friday night is Eve's game. We call it Eve's game. And then Sunday morning we get up, we have our final session together. And we have brunch and some people make the decision to leave at that point. You know, I can't take off Friday and Monday. I have to get back to work. And the other half of us hang out and decompress in community. And then Tuesday morning happens and we're in our group chat that we have with every attendee who has ever attended a Hyreth Open Healing retreat. And we're saying, "I'm back at work. I miss you guys. I can't wait to do this again." It's for me personally, doing this work has been so incredibly healing. I tried therapy. It didn't work for me. Like, I just didn't feel like I needed therapy for this discovery. What I needed was to be around people who got it. I think everybody should go to therapy at least once in their life. I'm not saying that therapy is a bad thing. I believe in therapy. I love therapy. It's amazing. But for me, for this particular issue, it just didn't work. Planning these retreats, hosting these retreats, being among folks who get it, that's really what helped me to heal in my journey. So much so that I'm entering a Master of Social Work program starting in the summer. And, you know, maybe at some point I'll facilitate at one of our retreats. Who knows? More to be revealed.
Hi, it's Corey. Kendall and I decided this was a good stopping point for the first part of our Hyreth Hope and Healing episodes. Don't worry, we'll have Aaron, Cindy, and Annie back next week for more great information about their wonderful organization. I hope you join us. Family Twist features original music from Cosmic Afterthoughts and is presented by Savoir Faire Marketing Communications.